For 25 years, from 1973 through 1997, an Italian priest named Father Stefano Gobbi said that he received locutions from the Blessed Mother. In these messages, she spoke of our times and reiterated the requests she made at Fatima. Although her messages are for everyone, in these messages, she particularly asks priests for greater holiness and to be more active in promoting consecration to her Immaculate Heart. Father Gobbi's spiritual director urged him to write down the messages that came to him. In due time, they were published with multiple imprimaturs as thousands of priests, bishops, and cardinals eagerly asked for translations in many languages. This recording is not professional and not for profit. Volunteer readers have undertaken to make these available as audio podcasts. You may purchase the book, To the Priests, Our Lady's Beloved Sons, at mmp-usa.net. Presented here are the messages from 1991, beginning January 1st to December 31st. To the Priests, Our Lady's Beloved Sons, number 441, Rubio Vicenza, January 1, 1991, Feast of Mary, the Most Holy Mother of God. The Announcement of the New Era. In the light of my divine maternity, begin this new year in prayer and in confidence. I am true Mother of God. He who is born of me in the holy night of Christmas and is placed in the manger with great love, surrounded by such squalor and with such immense poverty, is the true Son of God, the Word of the Father made flesh in my virginal womb, the image of his substance, the splendor of his glory. By the will of my Son Jesus, I have become your mother also. As mother, I am close to each one of you to help you carry out, in the time which has been granted you, the plan of your heavenly Father. This plan is that his divine will be accomplished by you, and the divine will is that you become holy. I therefore help you to walk along the road of holiness so that the divine will may be accomplished by you in a perfect way, and thus you may give in your life the greatest glory to the most holy Trinity. As mother, I am close to the church. My most beloved daughter, in these times the church is being called to live the hours of agony and of Gethsemane, the hours of the redemptive passion, the hours of its bloody immolation on Calvary. At the beginning of this new year on the road of Calvary, I am meeting all my children, the Pope, especially loved, guided and defended by me, the bishops, the priests, the religious and the faithful. How heavy a cross they must carry today. These most beloved children of mine, the cross of apostasy and of the lack of faith, the cross of sins and of innumerable sacrileges, the cross of abandonment and of rejection, the cross of condemnation and of crucifixion. For my church, the moment of the shedding of blood and of its bloody immolation is close at hand. Especially in these times, I am ever close to this suffering and agonizing daughter of mine, as I was beneath the cross upon which Jesus was immolated for our redemption. As mother, I am close to this poor humanity, sick and oppressed under the weight of its obstinate rejection of God and of his law of love. How greatly has it turned away from the Lord? It has wanted to build for itself an atheistic and materialistic civilization. New values have been proposed, values founded on the satisfaction of all the passions, on the search for all pleasures, on the legitimization of all moral disorders. Thus, love has been replaced by egoism and hatred, faith by pride and unbelief, hope by avarice and lust, honesty by fraud and deception, goodness by malice and hardness of heart. Satan has sung his victory because he has brought sin into souls and division into families, into society, into nations themselves, and between nations. Thus, peace has never been so threatened as in your days. You are beginning this new year under the grave threat of a conflict
which could become the spark for the outbreak of the terrible Third World War. Pray, beloved children, and do penance, because you have now entered into the time of the great chastisement, which the Lord will send for the purification of the earth. Multiply everywhere the cenacles of prayer which I have been asking of you for so long, and do not let yourselves be seized by fear or discouragement. Have great confidence in the powerful work of intercession and of mediation of your heavenly mother. The great suffering which awaits you is to prepare you for the birth of the new era, which is coming upon the world. Live this new year in my immaculate heart. It is the refuge which I have prepared for you for these times, burdened with sufferings for individuals and for nations. And so, you will not be afraid. Your suffering will increase with the increase of the trial which has already begun. I am the announcement of the new era. In the deep darkness of this, your time, if you live with me, you can already glimpse the glimmer of the new times which are awaiting you. Look to this light and live in peace of heart and in hope. If you remain always in my immaculate heart, my beloved ones and children consecrated to me, even as of these moments, you can begin the new era of holiness and of grace, of light and of purity, of love and of peace. Thus, in the hour of the great trial, you will give to all the charism of my motherly presence, and you will be a soothing and longed-for balm for so many open and bleeding wounds. At the beginning of this new year, which opens the door on the last decade of this century, and which will be marked by grave and decisive events, I enclose you in the depths of my immaculate heart, and I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Number 442, Milan, February 2, 1991, first Saturday of the month, and feast of the presentation of the child Jesus in the temple. The road which leads to the new era. Contemplate me today in the mystery of the presentation of my divine child in the temple. With how much docility and filial abandonment does Jesus allow himself to be carried in my motherly arms, as with my most chaste spouse, Joseph, I go up to the temple of Jerusalem to satisfy the precept of the holy law of the Lord. I entrust the child to the hands of the priest, and thus he is offered to the Father as victim and sacrifice for our ransom. Jesus enters into the glory of his temple as light which illumines every man for the salvation of all the nations. The mystery, hidden from the eternal centuries in the secret of the Father, is manifested at this moment. Not to the great and the wise, not to the powerful and the clever, not to those who are first and to those who are more important. It is revealed to the little, to the poor, to the simple, to the least of all, to the pure of heart. And thus, a simple woman and a poor old man, open to receive the gift of the Spirit, come to be the first to enter into the understanding of this great mystery. Now, O Lord, you let your servant depart in peace, because my eyes have beheld the Savior, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory of your people Israel. This is a mystery of love and of sorrow, of light and of darkness, of joy and of suffering, of death and of life. He will be set up as a sign of contradiction for the salvation and the ruin of many. And I become intimately associated in the unfolding of this, his divine mission. And as for you, O Mother, a sword will pierce your soul. You too, my beloved ones and children consecrated to my heart, you too must allow yourselves to be carried in my motherly arms. The time of your light and your witness has come. For this reason, I invite you all to enter into the temple of my immaculate heart. Here, you are offered to the glory of the Father. Here, you become molded in imitation of the Son. Here, you are transformed by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. Your priestly immolation is necessary for the salvation of all peoples. You have entered into the conclusive period of the great tribulation and the hour of the great trial of which I have been foretelling you for so many years has now arrived for you. It is a trial so great and painful that you cannot even imagine it, but it is necessary for the church and for all humanity in order that the new era, the new world, and the reconciliation of humanity with their Lord may come upon you. In these days, Jesus is working in a very powerful way in every part of the world to carry out the plan of his merciful love. For the present, this plan is hidden and enclosed in the secret of his divine heart. Today, it is again being revealed only to the little, to the simple, to the poor, to the pure of heart. With these little ones, which he is gathering from every part of the earth, Jesus will soon restore his reign of glory. This is the road which leads to the new era. Thus today, as you venerate me at the moment when I present the child Jesus in the temple of Jerusalem, I invite you to enter, each and all, into the spiritual temple of my Immaculate Heart, so that I can offer you to the glory of the Lord, and I can form you in simplicity and littleness, in poverty and purity. Only thus can you yourselves become the road which leads to his reign and be a most powerful light, which points out to all poor humanity the way which leads to the new times which await you. Number 443, Brasilia, Brazil, February 26, 1991, spiritual exercises in the form of a cenacle with bishops and priests of the Marian movement of priests from all Brazil. Not by bread alone. During these days, my Immaculate Heart is consoled to seeing you in such great numbers at this continuous cenacle of prayer and of brotherhood. You have come from all Brazil, this land so loved by me and increasingly ensnared by my adversary. Today I welcome into the garden of my Immaculate Heart the church, which lives and suffers here, and your fatherland, which is again passing through moments of great difficulty and of danger. I invite all my children to consecrate themselves to my Immaculate Heart and to enter as quickly as possible into the safe refuge, which I have prepared for you for these times of the purification and of the great tribulation. I am a tender and understanding mother for you all. I want to lead you along the way of peace, of prayer, of holiness, of your more profound union with Jesus, our Redeemer and our Savior. I see your zeal in the apostolate. I know of your great difficulties. I carry with you the burden of your daily sufferings. Above all, I look with love upon your diligent care for the poorest, the marginalized, and those in the last places in your effort to set them free from the slavery of poverty and misery. But, as your mother, I take you by the hand and lead you to the understanding of the truth, whole and entire. Not by bread alone does man live. Man lives also by every word that comes from the mouth of God to nourish the hunger of his mind. Besides the poverty of material goods, there exists a greater poverty of spiritual goods. How many there are of these children of mine who live under the yoke of this spiritual slavery? They are those who become victims of false ideologies founded on the denial of God. How great is the spreading of the error of theoretical and practical atheism, which brings many to pass their life getting along without God. They are those who withdraw from the church to join the various sects, which are spreading here more and more. This has come about because the hungering minds of so many of my children are no longer nourished with the bread of the Word of God. I ask you to give with abundance this spiritual food, and above all, to you, my beloved ones and sons consecrated to me, I ask a still greater effort in communicating to all the light of the gospel. Preach the gospel with courage and without fear. Present it with the charity of its completeness. Announce it with the same vigor with which my son Jesus preached it to you. Thus you will help all to walk along the way of the true faith in the greatest obedience to the magisterium of the Pope and of the bishops united with him. Not by bread alone does man live. Man lives also by divine grace, which Jesus has given him to nourish the hunger of his soul. Besides the poverty of material goods, there exists a greater and more dangerous moral poverty, consisting in the heavy yoke which makes many of my children slaves of evil and of sin, of unruly passions, especially of impurity. How great is this wound among you! How subtle is the snare of my adversary, who often leads you to put all your priestly energy into healing the wounds of the poor and exploited, in order thus to make you forget to look above all at the deep wounds of the sinners and of the wicked. Give the food of the grace of God to these souls who are dying of hunger. For this, you must help sinners to return to the fount of divine mercy by putting yourselves at their disposal in the sacrament of reconciliation. This is the favorable time for you. This is the time of conversion and of return to the Lord. Beloved sons, you yourselves must become solicitous ministers of reconciliation for the salvation of many souls who are running the danger of being lost. Not by bread alone does man live. Man lives also by the living bread come down from heaven to nourish the hunger of his heart. How many there are today who live under the terrible slavery of pride, of unbridled egoism, of avarice, of hatred, of violence, of a great incapacity to love. The way which leads to salvation is solely that of communion and of love. For this reason, Jesus has made you the inestimable gift of the Most Holy Eucharist. Jesus becomes present in the Eucharist to be the food of your spiritual life and to form you to a true capacity for love. Jesus gives himself to you in the Eucharist to love in you, with you, and by means of you. The Eucharistic Jesus is the living bread come down from heaven, the food to eat that one may hunger no longer, the water to drink that one may thirst no longer. The Eucharistic Jesus wants to become today the Good Samaritan for your church, so divided and suffering, and for your fatherland, so ill and threatened. The Eucharistic Jesus wants to lead all of you along the road of love, of reconciliation, of communion, of peace, of mercy, and of salvation. Learn of him who is meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This year, Brazil is celebrating its National Eucharistic Congress. May your church and your fatherland prostrate themselves in an act of profound adoration directed to the Eucharistic Jesus. Today, I ask all to throw open the doors to Jesus Christ who is coming. I am the mother of the Second Advent and the door which is being opened on the new era. This new era will coincide with the greatest triumph of the Eucharistic reign of Jesus. For this, I invite you in this extraordinary year to make flourish everywhere the cult of adoration, of reparation, and of love for the Most Holy Eucharist. In your churches, return to the exposition of the Most Holy Sacrament through solemn hours of public adoration. Let the Eucharist become the center of your prayer, of your life, of your cult, and of your ecclesial gatherings. Thus again today, the Eucharistic Jesus, with his word, will nourish the hunger of minds, with his grace, will nourish the hunger of souls, with his love, will nourish the hunger of your hearts. And it will be the Eucharistic Jesus who will finally give you the great gift of the true liberation from every form of physical, spiritual, and moral slavery. And thus, in all of you there will shine forth the great dignity of sons of God, created by him, loved, redeemed, sanctified, and saved. Go forth now from this your cenacle and become the apostles of this new evangelization in all of Brazil. I accompany you with my immaculate love, and I sustain you with my motherly blessing. Number 444, Rubio Vicenza, March 28, 1991, Holy Thursday. The Pash of Love and of Sorrow. Beloved sons, today is your feast, because it is the day of the birth of your priesthood. At the Last Supper, with the words, "Take and eat of this, all of you. This is my body. Drink of this, all of you. This is the chalice of my blood. Jesus institutes the new sacrifice, the pact of the new and eternal alliance, and with the words which he addresses to the apostles, "Do this in memory of me," he institutes his new priesthood. To this new and eternal priesthood of Christ, all of you also, my beloved sons, have been associated, you who have participated in the indelible sign of the priestly character on the day of your presbyteral ordination. And today, you are recalling this gift, renewing your complete availability in the service of Christ and of the brothers, gathered about your bishops during the concelebration of the Holy Mass of Charism, which allows you to express, in such a profound and visible way, the unity which exists among yourselves, the bishop and Christ. On this day, I ask you to renew your act of complete and total love for Jesus. Live the moments of his such great suffering. Enter with him into the Garden of Olives to live his very agony of Gethsemane. How Jesus has awaited this day. I have ardently longed to eat this, my Passover, with you before I suffer. It is the pash of love. It is the pash of the institution of the sacrifice of love. It is the pash of the sacrament of love, of the new commandment of love, of the service given as a perfect act of love, of the prayer for the unity of you all as a fulfillment of love. It is the pash of sorrow. And lo, no sooner has Jesus entered into the Garden of Olives than a profound anguish takes hold of him and almost paralyzes him. He feels himself to be an innocent victim, an immaculate lamb, an immolated sacrificial victim upon whom has fallen the burden of all the sin of the world. In an instant, he has the clear vision of every detail of his painful and opprobrious passion, and then, with a deep voice which comes forth from his whole divine person, he entrusts himself to the Father. "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass me by." He prostrates himself on the ground. He prays. He moans. He weeps. Deep shudders shake his whole body, which begins to sweat profusely, and the drops of sweat are changed into drops of blood. He has need of comfort. He asks it of the three most beloved disciples, Peter, James, and John. Three times he goes to them, crushed by such great suffering. Three times he finds them asleep. "I am far away with my presence, but with my soul and my heart I am always close to my Son," and thus the only earthly creature who assists him even in these moments of sorrowful agony is his mother. Comforted by this, my spiritual and motherly help, Jesus offers himself in an act of perfect abandonment. "Father, let not my will but yours be done." And now, the angel is sent him by the Father with the chalice of gentle comfort, of divine consolation, to give him the courage to go forward to the encounter with his traitor, who has already come. "He who betrays me is at hand." Beloved sons, in your priestly life, there must be renewed the great mystery of love and of sorrow of your divine brother Jesus. You too are called to enter into the Gethsemane of these last times, which are making ready your priestly immolation for the new era which awaits you. How many times the weight of sorrows oppresses you, the powers of evil paralyze you, the misunderstandings leave their mark on you, the acts of opposition bring you to a halt, the sins of this humanity crush you, the betrayals weary you. "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass us by." Beloved sons, do not seek human consolations or superficial comforts. It is my motherly task to give you that chalice of comfort which the Heavenly Father has prepared for you. In this way, you are assisted by me to carry out today only the will of the Father. Entrust yourselves all to my Immaculate Heart, that I may be able to lead you along the road of the divine will, and live with me in the Gethsemane of these last times, your pash of love and of sorrow, in expectation of the new era which now awaits you. Number 445, Rubio, Vicenza, March 29th, 1991, Good Friday. The Man of All Times. Gather together in the garden of my Immaculate Heart, beloved sons, to live together with Jesus the terrible hours of his painful passion. It is Good Friday. It is the day of his condemnation and of his death on the cross. After having spent all the night amidst the insults and the effronteries of the members and the servants of the Sanhedrin, as the day wears on, Jesus is led before Pilate. Here takes place a second and more humiliating trial. Before a great crowd stirred up into a rage against him, face to face with the religious leaders who accuse him of blasphemy and sacrilege, Jesus, meek as a lamb which silently allows itself to be led to the slaughter, assists in august silence throughout the entire unfolding of events. The initial honesty of Pilate, who finds no guilt on his part. If he were not guilty, we would not have brought him here before you. The incipient fear of the crowd, the doubt over the reality of his word. Are you a king? The attempt to save him, proposing his liberation in the place of Barabbas. The fear caused by the cries of the people, the terror of the judgment of Rome. If you set this fellow free, you are an enemy of Caesar, and thus, with cowardice, Pilate signs his condemnation to death. He hands Jesus over to the soldiers to be scourged. His whole body becomes one deep, living wound from the gashes which the terrible Roman scourges gouge in his immaculate flesh. He is then crowned with thorns. The thorns open up on him rivulets of blood, which run down from his head and disfigure his face, and they strike him and cover him with spittle and with insults. We have looked upon him stricken and humiliated. His face no longer bore human semblance. The final and most wicked and cruel contrivance, they cover him with a scarlet scrap of cloth as his royal robe. They put a reed in his hands, a scepter, and they lead him to Pilate, who presents him to the crowd. Behold the man. Behold the man of all times. Upon him in Gethsemane have been placed all the sins of the world. In the praetorium there have been heaped on him the sufferings, the humiliations, the abuses, the acts of exploitation and enslavement of all men. He is the man of all times. The men who went before him have lived in the hope of seeing this his day, and in him they have found salvation. He is the one who, in Abel was killed, in Isaac was bound by the feet, in Jacob walked as a pilgrim, in Joseph was sold, in Moses was exposed on the waters, in the Lamb was slaughtered, in David was persecuted, and in the prophets was dishonored. He is the man of all times. By the gift of his redemption, all men who have lived after him have been called to live in communion of life with God. He has borne on his body the sufferings of all the victims of hatred, of violence, of wars. He has enclosed within his wounds the blood shed by millions of innocent babies slaughtered while still in their mother's wombs. He has been scourged by all the sufferings and the sicknesses, especially the incurable diseases that are spreading about. He has been crowned with thorns in those who succumb to the false ideologies and to the errors which lead far from the faith, to pride and to human conceit. He has been despised in the little, in the poor, in the marginalized, in those who are the last of all, in the exploited. He has been spit upon in those who are rejected and have given up hope. He has been exposed to derision in those who display as merchandise the dignity of their own bodies. Behold the man. Now he takes upon himself in the wood of the condemnation. He climbs toward Calvary. He meets his transfixed mother. He is nailed to the gibbet. He is raised upon the cross. The three anguishing hours of his agony near me, his mother, and John, the beloved apostle, and in the end, his act of complete abandonment to the Father and his death on the cross toward 3 o'clock of this day. Behold, truly the man of all times. In him is every man, from the first Adam to the last, who will find himself on the earth at the end of time, who has lived and has been redeemed and saved with the help of John, of Joseph, of Arimathea, and of the holy women. I bring him to the sepulchre, where he is laid until the dawn of the first day after the Sabbath. His divine resurrection is the greatest proof that he alone is the man of all times. He is the man of the new times, because only in him will there rise all the men who have lived, have died, have been buried, and have wasted away to dry dust. So then, even in the great desert of your time, live with me these hours of his passion and of his death on the cross. Live them in silence, in recollection, in prayer, in sweet intimacy of life with your divine crucified brother, because only in him will the new times which await you be accomplished, when he will return to you in glory. And all the powers of heaven, of earth, and of hell will prostrate themselves before him to the perfect glory of God the Father. Number 446, Rubio Vicenza, March 30th, 1991, Holy Saturday. In the long Holy Saturday. Beloved children, let us live together this day of Holy Saturday. Jesus rests, lifeless, in the new sepulchre where he has been placed. I am keeping watch. In confidence, in prayer, in hope, and in expectation, this is the day of your spiritual rest. This is the first day of my spiritual motherhood. In these last times, let your commitment to live in union of life with your sorrowful mother become stronger. This is a long Holy Saturday, which is now about to end. And so, let your prayer become more intense. Do not allow yourselves to become absorbed or taken up by activity and by excessive preoccupation. In the moment of suffering, in the sorrows of the last times through which you are living, I urge you to keep watch with me in assiduous prayer. In the long Holy Saturday through which you are living, keep watch with me in confidence and in hope. In the sepulchre of your long Holy Saturday, iniquity and human misery are buried once and for all. Evil and sin, pride and hatred, impurity and arrogance, and every form of corruption and death are laid away. In the long Holy Saturday of these last times of yours, you must above all keep watch with me in expectation. That which made lighter for me the great sorrow of this day was the certitude that Jesus was to be gloriously risen. The Saturday of the sepulchre was to be succeeded by the first day of the resurrection. Even though you are still living the pain, the fatigue, the suffering, and the death of this long Holy Saturday, live with me in expectation. Jesus will return on the clouds of heaven to restore his reign of glory and to make all things new. Beloved children, live with me today in the expectation of this, his return. Number 447, Rubio, Vicenza, March 31, 1991, Easter Sunday, Mother of Joy. Share with me in the joy of all the universe, beloved children, Jesus is risen. The dark hour of Gethsemane and Calvary has passed. In 3 days, the greatest mystery of history has been completed. The betrayal, the judgment, the condemnation, Calvary, the agony, the death, and the new sepulcher, all has passed. Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive in our midst. Let your joy be great, together with me, who am the Mother of Joy. From the moment when Jesus appeared to me in the splendor of his glorified body, my heart was filled with such a great fullness of joy that it has never again abandoned it. Let nothing now disturb the deep joy of your human existence, not the sin which has been canceled out, not the sorrow which has been ransomed, not death which has been conquered forever. Your earthly journey is passing through the stages of the very journey of Christ. You are still in the moments of the purification and the suffering of Gethsemane and of Calvary. But today, open the doors of your heart only to the joy, with me who am the Mother of your joy. Christ, risen and living in our midst, arranges all events for the accomplishment of his divine plan and predisposes everything so that his reign of glory may quickly come upon you. Our Lady's Beloved Sons, number 448, Milan, May 4, 1991, first Saturday of the month, the times of your witness. With this first Saturday of the month of May, you begin the period of time which is set aside for my special veneration. In this month of May, I want you to be more completely united with me so that I may cause you to grow in your life of consecration to the point of full maturity. The times of your maturity have come. These are the times of your witness. Give to all the witness of being consecrated to me. Your life must be illumined by my motherly presence, and you must spread about you the charism of my holiness, of my purity, of my mercy, of my charity, of my tenderness. Whoever sees you must see the power of my light. Whoever meets you must find the sweet balm of my mercy. Give my help to those who are far away, to the poor, to the sick, to the sinners, to the despairing. Come with me, your motherly shepherdess, in the search of the many little sheep who have lost their way and are running the danger of dying of hunger and of cold. Give to all the witness of walking with me along the road of faith. In these times, errors are spreading in a way which is so vast and profound that it is not possible for you to so much as imagine it. Many are losing the faith, and apostasy is expanding more and more within the church, like a terrible cancer which has spread through all its members. You are being called to follow me along the road of heroic and pure faith. I am making you the gift of preserving you in the integrity of the faith, so that you can illumine my children in these times of great darkness. For this reason, I ask you to be strongly united with the Pope, who has, from Jesus, the great task of confirming all in the truth of the Catholic faith. Give to all the witness of walking with me along the road of prayer. Prayer is the strength of the Church. Prayer is necessary for your salvation. Prayer, made together with me, can obtain for you the gift of the second Pentecost. Only with prayer can you enter into the new era which awaits you. So then, I invite you to call everyone to prayer. Multiply the cenacles of prayer which I have asked of you. I want you priests to be the first to give the example of taking part in these cenacles, and then I ask that, in these decisive times, cenacles be spread among the children, among the youth, and in the families. The time has come when all the church must gather together with me in prayer in the spiritual cenacle of my Immaculate Heart. Give to all the witness of walking with me along the road of holiness. My Immaculate Heart must be honored and glorified by the church and by all humanity. For this reason, I want to bring you to a great holiness. Thus, by means of you, little children consecrated to me, the whole church can become illumined and transformed by the very holiness of your Heavenly Mother. I am taking you along the road of perfect imitation of Jesus, of littleness and of humility, of disdain for the world and for your own selves, of the heroic exercise of all the virtues, and of a great love for the Most Holy Eucharist. You are now in the decisive times which are bringing you to the new era. You are in my times. In these days of great darkness, your light will shine forth with greater and greater strength, to the point of surrounding with its rays and illuminating souls, the church, and all humanity. Number 449, Salzburg, Austria, May 13, 1991. Anniversary of the first apparition at Fatima. The Pope of my secret. Today you are gathered here in this, my venerated shrine, in a cenacle made up of very many priests and faithful of my Marian movement of priests. You are observing in this way the anniversary of my first apparition, which took place in Fatima on the 13th of May, 1917. You are aware of being spiritually very much united with my Pope, John Paul II, this precious gift which my Immaculate Heart has made to you, who, in these very moments, is in prayer at the Cova da Iria, to thank me for the motherly and extraordinary protection which I gave him by saving his life on the occasion of the bloody attempt made upon it, which took place 10 years ago in St. Peter's Square. Today I confirm for you that this is the Pope of my secret, the Pope about whom I spoke to the children during the apparitions, the Pope of my love and of my sorrow. With great courage and with superhuman strength, he goes about every part of the world, heedless of the fatigue and the many dangers, in order to confirm all in the faith, and thus he carries out his apostolic ministry as successor of Peter, Vicar of Christ, universal pastor of the Holy Catholic Church, founded on the rock of my Son Jesus. The Pope gives to all the light of Christ in these times of great darkness. With vigor, he confirms us in the truth of the faith in these times of general apostasy. He invites us to walk along the road of love and of peace in these times of violence, of hatred, of tumult, and of war. My Immaculate Heart is wounded in seeing how, all about him, there is an expanding emptiness of indifference, contestation on the part of some of my poor children, bishops, priests, religious, and faithful, haughty opposition to his magisterium. For this reason, my church is today wounded by a deep division. It is threatened with the loss of the true faith. It is pervaded with an infidelity which is becoming greater and greater. When this Pope will have completed the task which Jesus has entrusted to him, and I will come down from heaven to receive his sacrifice, all of you will be cloaked in a dense darkness of apostasy, which will then become general. There will remain faithful only that little remnant which, in these years, by accepting my motherly invitation, has let itself be enfolded in the secure refuge of my Immaculate Heart. And it will be this little faithful remnant, prepared and formed by me, that will have the task of receiving Christ, who will return to you in glory, bringing about in this way the beginning of the new era which awaits you. Number 450, Berlin, Germany, May 19, 1991, Feast of Pentecost. The understanding of the whole and entire truth. To today you are here to observe the liturgical solemnity of Pentecost in a continual cenacle of brotherhood and of prayer carried out with me and by means of me. Thus there is renewed the very same reality which took place in the cenacle of Jerusalem when, under the form of tongues of fire, the Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles, gathered together in prayer with your heavenly mother. That was the first Pentecost. That was the beginning of the earthly journey of the church in the history of humanity. With the extraordinary abundance of his charisms, the Spirit of the Lord has completely transformed the apostles from being timid and fearful to being courageous witnesses of Jesus and of his gospel. With the powerful force of his divine action, he has brought them to the understanding of the whole and entire truth, and he has made them into perfect witnesses of Jesus, even to the shedding of blood. You have now entered into the times of the second Pentecost. For this reason, it is necessary that these cenacles be multiplied in every part of the world. I ask that all the church be gathered together in the spiritual cenacle of my Immaculate Heart. Then the Holy Spirit will bring you to the understanding of the whole and entire truth. He will bring you into the secret of the Word of God and will give you the light of wisdom to understand all the gospel and whatever is described in it concerning the times through which you are living. The Holy Spirit will make you understand the signs of your time. They are the times foretold by Holy Scripture as those of the great apostasy and of the coming of the Antichrist. There are times of great tribulation and of innumerable sufferings for all, which will bring you to live through these final events in preparation for the second coming of Jesus in glory. The Holy Spirit gives his perfect witness to Jesus and proclaims him as the only begotten Son. Co-eternal and consubstantial with the Father, he through whom all things have been made, the incarnate Word, the King of all the universe, who must come again in glory to restore his reign in the world. The Holy Spirit prepares hearts and souls for the second coming of Jesus. For this reason, he is today pouring out his charisms in a manner which is even stronger and more extraordinary than at the time of the beginning of the church. Because you have now entered into the last times, which will lead you to the new era. The task of the Spirit is to prepare humanity for its complete change, to renew the face of creation, to form the new heavens and the new earth. For this reason, I ask you to persevere with fidelity in the cenacles which I have requested of you, and allow the Holy Spirit to mold you with his sweet and powerful action of love. Only thus can you be ready for the great plan which awaits you. Number 451. Dongo, Como, June 8, 1991. Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Apostles of the Last Times, today you are celebrating the liturgical memorial of my Immaculate Heart. This is your feast, my beloved ones and children consecrated to me. You have been chosen by me and called to form part of my victorious cohort. You form part of my estate. I have a great design upon you. This design of mine has been revealed to you in every detail. It must now appear to the church and to humanity in all its splendor, because these are the times of your maturity and of your public witness. Show yourselves to all as my consecrated ones, as the apostles of these last times. As apostles of the last times, you must announce with courage all the truths of the Catholic faith. Proclaim the gospel with force and resolutely unmask the dangerous heresies which disguise themselves with truth in order to better deceive minds and thus lead astray from the true faith a great number of my children. as apostles of the last times, you must withstand with the strength of little ones the proud force of the great and the learned, who, seduced by a false science and by vainglory, have torn to pieces the gospel of Jesus by propounding an interpretation of it which is rationalistic, humanistic, and entirely erroneous. The times foretold by St. Paul have come, times when many announce false and strange doctrines, and thus they go running after these fables and stray away from the truth of the gospel. As apostles of the last times, you must follow Jesus along the road of disdain for the world and for yourselves, of humility, of prayer, of poverty, of silence, of mortification, of charity, and of a more profound union with God. You are unknown and despised by the world and by those who surround you. You are often obstructed, marginalized, and persecuted because this suffering is necessary for the fecundity of your very mission. As apostles of the last times, you must now illumine the earth with the light of Christ. Show yourselves to all as my children, because I am always with you. Let the faith be the light which illuminates you in these days of apostasy and of great darkness, and in these times of such a vast infidelity, let it be zeal alone for the glory of my Son Jesus, which consumes you. As apostles of the last times, there befalls you the duty of carrying out the second evangelization, so much asked for by my Pope, John Paul II. Evangelize the church, which has strayed from the Spirit of Christ and has allowed itself to be seduced by the spirit of the world, which has penetrated it deeply and has pervaded it entirely. Evangelize humanity, which has again become pagan after almost 2,000 years since the first announcement of the gospel. Evangelize all men who have become victims of errors, of evil, and of sin, and who let themselves be swept away by the impetuous wind of all the false ideologies. Evangelize the peoples and the nations of the earth, immersed in the darkness of the practical denial of God, as they prostrate themselves in the worship of pleasure, of money, of power, of pride, and of impurity. Your times have come, and I have formed you during these years, so that you may be able to give now your strong witness as faithful disciples of Jesus, even to the shedding of your very own blood. When, from every part of the earth, all of you, my little children, will give this witness as apostles of the last times, then my Immaculate Heart will have its greatest triumph. Number 452, Val d'Argonne di San Marino, June 26, 1991. Spiritual exercises in the form of a cenacle with the priests of the Marian movement of priests from America and Europe. In you I manifest myself. Beloved sons, again this year I have called you up here on this mountain to spend a week of continuous cenacle together with me. And you have responded in so generous a way. You have come from every part of Europe and from many countries of America, offering me the discomfort of long and tiring journeys. I am with you always. I unite myself to your prayer. I am building up among you a more perfect brotherhood. I help you to know one another, to understand one another, to love one another, and to go forward together on the painful road of these last times. Why have I again wanted you here? Because the times have arrived in which I wish to manifest myself through you to the church and to the whole of humanity. In you, I manifest myself as leader of my cohort, formed by me in every part of the world, to fight against the great army of the enemies of God under the orders of him who opposes himself to Christ, that is, of the Antichrist. My cohort is made up of the little ones, of the poor, of the humble servants of the Lord, whom I call to enter into the cenacle of my immaculate heart, so that they may receive in fullness the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is in the hearts and the souls of the littlest ones that I am working my greatest prodigies in these years. For this reason, I have wanted you here again, to form you all to littleness, to spiritual childhood, to poverty, to humility, because it is with the weakness of the little ones that I will conquer the proud power of the great. In you I manifest myself as queen, because it is by means of you that each day I am bringing about the triumph of my immaculate heart in the world. Open the doors of your lives so that I can reign in you and prepare the way for the glorious reign of Christ. I am the dawn that announces the arrival of the great day of the Lord. In you I manifest myself as prophetess of these last times. This is why I speak to you, because I know that I am listened to, obeyed, and followed by you, my sons. So I still continue to manifest myself through the messages which I am giving to the heart of this my littlest son. Believe in my word. Receive with docility these messages of mine, because in them everything has already been said to you about that which awaits you. In you I manifest myself as a tender and merciful mother. In these painful hours of the purification and of the great tribulation, you are called to be the instruments of my motherly tenderness. Love everyone with my motherly heart. For this, I want to manifest myself in you more and more. Because in you, I want to console those who suffer, to support those who are weak, to lift up those who have fallen, to lead back to the Lord those who have strayed, to convert sinners, to heal the sick, and to give hope to all who have lost their confidence. Be my sweet balm, which comes down to soothe the great sufferings of so many of my children. Walk along the road which I have traced out for you in these years. Show yourselves to everyone as my children, as those who are consecrated to me, because I am always with you. Live in contempt for the world and for yourselves. Let the faith be the only light which enlightens you in these times of great darkness. Let zeal for the glory of God be the only thing which consumes you in these days of such widespread aridity. You are called to be the new heart of the new church which Jesus is forming in a holy, mysterious way in the heavenly garden of my immaculate heart. I thank you for the comfort which you give in these days to the great sorrow of my immaculate heart. With those dear to you and with the souls who are entrusted to you, I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Number 453, Rubio, Vicenza, August 15, 1991, Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into Heaven. The New Era. Today, beloved sons, contemplate me in the splendor of my glorified body, assumed into the glory of paradise. Live in joy and confidence the last times of this, your second advent, by looking to me as to the sign of sure hope and of consolation. The new era, which awaits you, corresponds to a particular encounter of love, of light, and of life between paradise, where I am in perfect blessedness with the angels and the saints, and earth, where you, my children, live in the midst of many dangers and innumerable tribulations. This is the heavenly Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven upon earth to transform it completely and to thus shape the new heavens and the new earth. The new era. Toward you, which you are journeying, is bringing all creation to the perfect glorification of the Most Holy Trinity. The Father receives his greatest glory from every creature which reflects his light, his love, and his divine splendor. The Son restores his reign of grace and of holiness. setting free every creature from the slavery of evil and of sin. The Holy Spirit pours out in fullness his holy gifts, leads to the understanding of the whole truth, and renews the face of the earth. The new era, which I announce to you, coincides with the complete fulfillment of the divine will, so that at last there is coming about that which Jesus taught you to ask for from the Heavenly Father. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the time when the divine will of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is being accomplished by the creatures. From the perfect fulfillment of the divine will, the whole world is becoming renewed, because God finds there, as it were, his new Garden of Eden, where he can dwell in loving companionship with his creatures. The new era, which is just now beginning, brings you to a full communion of life with those who have preceded you and who, here in paradise, enjoy perfect happiness. You see the splendor of the heavenly hierarchy. You communicate with the saints of paradise. You relieve the purifying sufferings of the souls who are still in purgatory. You experience in a strong and visible way the consoling truth of the communion of saints. The new era, which I am preparing for you, coincides with the defeat of Satan and of his universal reign. All his power is destroyed. He is bound with all the wicked spirits and shut up in hell, from which he will not be able to get out to do harm in the world. Herein, Christ reigns in the splendor of his glorified body, and the immaculate heart of your heavenly mother triumphs in the light of her body, assumed into the glory of paradise. This feast of mine, which bids you to look to your heavenly mother, assumed into heaven, thus becomes for you a reason for deep joy and great confidence. In the midst of the innumerable sufferings of the times through which you are living, you look upon me as a sign of sure hope and of consolation, because I am the luminous door which opens upon the new era that has been prepared for you by the Most Holy Trinity. Number 454, Olomouc, Moravia, September 3, 1991. Spiritual exercises in the form of a cenacle with the priests of the Marian Movement of Priests from Czechoslovakia. Apostles of the New Era. How happy I am, my beloved sons, to see you in such great numbers at this retreat, which you are making in the form of a continuous cenacle. You have come from Moravia, Bohemia, and Slovakia to live days of intense prayer and of great brotherhood in the company of your Heavenly Mother. I am always with you. As it was in the cenacle of Jerusalem, so also in this cenacle of yours, I am uniting myself with your prayer. I am building up among you a greater capacity for understanding. I am helping you to walk along the way of your mutual love, so that the new commandment which my Son Jesus has given you, love one another as I have loved you, may be more and more lived by you. You have emerged from a painful and very burdensome trial. After many years of harsh communist slavery, I have obtained for you the grace of your liberation, as I had already foretold to you. Now, I am asking you to become the apostles of the new era, which is awaiting for you. For this, I am forming a new heart in you, so that you may know how to love everyone with my maternal and merciful love. Do not be looking at some of those among you who, through weakness, have descended to compromise with my adversary, who has now been defeated. Do not bear any resentment toward them. The past is now canceled out. You are now called to live this new time, and new tasks are awaiting you. There awaits you the task of rebuilding the church, here where it has been so persecuted and violated by my adversary. For this, I urge you to be ever faithful priests, witnesses of unity and of love for the Pope and for your bishops. Exercise your ministry with joy and with enthusiasm. Give to all the light of Christ and of his gospel. Be ministers of grace and of holiness, Thus, by means of you, the church will begin again to shine forth with great light for all those who live in this country of yours. There awaits you the task of evangelizing this poor humanity, which has been so deceived and seduced by the spirit of evil. Think of the great number of my children, above all, the young, who have been formed for years in the school of the denial of God and of the rejection of his law of love. They are little sheep snatched from the flock of your divine shepherd and led astray along the way of evil, of sin, and of unhappiness. Take them up in your priestly arms, these straying children of mine, and carry them all into the safe sheepfold of my immaculate heart. Be therefore persevering in your ministry of catechesis, giving the light of the truth which Christ has revealed to you in order to help all to remain in the true faith. In this way, you accomplish the task of this second evangelization, so very much demanded by the first of my beloved sons, Pope John Paul II. There awaits you the task of causing the sweet balm of my motherly tenderness to come down upon so many open and bleeding wounds. See how numerous are the poor, those far away, the sinners, the unhappy, the stricken, the downtrodden, the discouraged, the abandoned, the lonely, the desperate. You must be an expression of my love and my motherly concern. Love all with the strength of your priestly heart and with the light which is given you by your heavenly mother. If you carry out this task, which I am entrusting to you today, you become truly the apostles of the new era, which I have already initiated here. Leave this cenacle with joy, with confidence, and with great hope. I am always with you. You are a precious part of my motherly property. With your dear ones and with the souls entrusted to you, I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Number 455, Velehrad, Bohemia, September 8, 1991, Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Crown of the Slavic Peoples. Today, I have wanted you here to celebrate the day of my nativity with a cenacle, which you are holding in this important shrine, where I am venerated, along with the memory of the two great Slavic apostles, Saint Cyril and Saint Methodius. You are meeting many priests and faithful who have also come from afar to spend this day in continuous prayer with the Heavenly Mother and to renew together your consecration to my Immaculate Heart. Bring to me, as a filial gift, about the crib where I am placed on the day of my birth, the crown of the Slavic peoples. With it adorn and make fragrant, with love and with trust, this day of my birth. From this, my venerated shrine, I bless you today, O Slavic peoples, who are particularly loved and protected by me, especially in these times, during which I have been close to you. I have always been close to you. In the long years of your harsh and bloody slavery, the red dragon had been exerting all his power over you, setting everywhere in blood and in tears the seal of his cruel reign. But I have obtained from the Lord the great grace of your liberation. I have always been close to you in the decisive moments when communism was forever defeated by you, and I have personally intervened in order that this changeover take place without fratricidal struggles, without the shedding of blood, and without further acts of destruction. I am now particularly close to you to help you walk along the road of true liberty. In the faithful fulfillment of your baptismal promises and in a daily commitment to follow Jesus along the way of the grace of God, of love, of purity, of communion, and of brotherhood. Let the wounds of the past be closed forever and open yourselves upon the new times which await you. All Europe must become one great single family, faithful to Christ and to His church. In one effort of conversion and of return to the Lord, so that the most dangerous enemy of practical atheism, of hedonism, of impurity, and of impiety be defeated by you. As your great teachers and patrons, Cyril and Methodius have brought you the first evangelization, so also all of you, my beloved ones and children consecrated to me, are now being called to be the apostles of this second evangelization. Be in peace and in joy. Live in confidence and in great hope. I am always with you. From this place, together with Saint Cyril and Methodius, I bless today all the Slavic peoples and this new Europe, completely renewed, which I am forming each day in the heavenly garden of my Immaculate Heart. Number 456, Sosten, Slovakia, September 12, 1991, Cenacle held at the National Shrine of Slovakia. In the name of Mary. Today, my dearest son, on the feast of the venerated name of your Heavenly Mother, you are bringing to a close your journey. So extraordinary for its graces with the great cenacle which you are holding for the priests and the faithful in this great national shrine, dedicated to the memory of my sorrows. You have seen everywhere a most generous response on the part of all to my request for prayer and for consecration. Especially, you have been astounded because you have come here for the first time and have found my Marian movement of priests so widely spread, received, and followed. This is my work alone, and I myself am furthering it in every part of the world, because these are the times of my triumph, of my victory, and of your salvation. In the name of your Heavenly Mother, yes, in the name of Mary, the Turks were defeated when they laid siege to the city of Vienna and threatened to invade and destroy the whole Christian world. They were far superior in strength, in numbers, and in weapons, and they felt that their victory was assured. But I was publicly invoked and called upon. My name was inscribed upon their banners and shouted out by the soldiers, and thus, through my intercession, there took place the miracle of this victory, which saved the Christian world from its destruction. It is for this reason that the Pope instituted, on this day, the Feast of the Name of Mary. In the name of Mary, Marxist communism, which for decades had been exercising its rule and holding so many of my poor children in oppressive and bloody slavery, has been defeated in these countries, not because of political movements or persons, but through my personal intervention has your liberation finally come about. It will again be in the name of Mary that I will bring to completion my work, with the defeat of Masonry, of every diabolical force, of materialism, and of practical atheism, so that all humanity will be able to attain its encounter with the Lord and be thus purified and completely renewed with the triumph of my Immaculate Heart in the world. It is for this reason that I desire that the feast in honor of the name of Mary be restored, now that you are entering into the fiercest moments of the struggle and the most painful stage of the great tribulation. From this, my shrine, I look with love upon those countries which have still preserved the feast of the name of your Heavenly Mother, and I promise them my special and motherly protection. In particular, I bless this land of Slovakia, where I am so loved, venerated, and more glorified. Number 457, Budapest, Hungary, September 15, 1991, Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. Great is my sorrow. Today you find yourself here in order to hold two great cenacles with the priests and the faithful of my movement in Hungary. You see the deep wounds left by so many years of harsh communist oppression, but with joy you are able to contemplate the new buds which have sprouted from so much suffering, and today you are gathering them up in the heavenly garden of my Immaculate Heart. Give to all the balm of my motherly tenderness. Make it felt how great my mother's love is for them. Here, I have personally intervened to bring these children of mine along the road of their liberation from a great slavery. But great is my sorrow in seeing that all humanity is still a slave to materialism, to practical atheism, to hedonism, to rebellion, to hatred, and to impurity. Great is my sorrow because my motherly and anguished calls for conversion and for a return to the Lord are not being listened to or followed. For this reason, I turn again to you, my beloved ones and children consecrated to me, and I ask you to offer to the Lord your life of prayer and of suffering in a spirit of love and of reparation for the salvation of this poor humanity, which is rushing along the road of its own destruction. Thus, by means of you, I am able to continue my motherly work of mercy, which I have begun in these countries, but which I must still bring to completion in every part of the world for the triumph of my Immaculate Heart. Number 458, Birkenhead, England, October 13, 1991. Anniversary of the last apparition of Fatima, the great sign in heaven. Look to me, beloved sons, and you who are consecrated to me, in the great battle which you are fighting under the orders of your heavenly leader. I am the woman clothed with the sun. I am the great sign which appears in heaven. Today you are calling to mind my last apparition, which took place in Fatima, in the Covada area, and which was confirmed by the miracle of the sun. This miracle shows you in an extraordinary way that I am the woman clothed with the sun. This miracle invites you to look to me as to the great sign which appears in heaven. I am a great sign of battle between me and my adversary, between the woman and the dragon, between my army and the army guided by the enemy of God. You are entering into the decisive times of the battle. You are preparing to live through the most difficult hours and the greatest of sufferings. It is necessary that all of you come as quickly as possible to form part of my army. For this, I again invite my children to consecrate themselves to my Immaculate Heart and to entrust themselves to me as little children. Today, I am extending this invitation of mine above all to the little ones, to the poor, to those who are least, to the sick and to the sinners. Come, all of you, to fight beneath the sign of your Immaculate Mother, because it is with the weakness of the little ones, with the trust of the poor, and with the suffering of the sick that I am today fighting my great battle. I am a great sign of victory. I am the victorious woman. In the end, the power of Satan will be destroyed, and I myself will bind him with my chain, and I will shut him up within his kingdom of death and of eternal torment, from which he will not be able to get out. In the world, there will reign the one and only conqueror of sin and of death, the King of the entire created universe, Jesus Christ. Let yourselves be now signed with my seal. In these times, the angels of light are going about the world to mark with the sign of the cross all those who form part of my victorious army. Against these, the star of the abyss will have no power, even if they will be called to great sufferings, and some to shed their own blood. But it will be with the great sufferings of these children of mine that I will obtain my greatest victory. Today, I am inviting you to look to me as to the great sign which is appearing in heaven, in order to live in trust and in serenity, as you are enlightened by my own light and signed by my motherly seal. Number 459, Birmingham, England, October 16, 1991, Spiritual Exercises in the Form of a Cenacle with the priests of the Marian Movement of Priests from Ireland and Great Britain. The gift which I am making to the Church. I look upon you with motherly tenderness, my beloved sons, priests of my movement, who have come from every part of Ireland and Great Britain in order to live these days of retreat in the form of a continuous cenacle. The great sorrow of my Immaculate Heart is consoled by you, and many of its wounds are closed by the sweet balm of your filial love. I am always with you. I unite myself to your prayer. I am building up amongst you a greater capacity for communion and mutual love. I am giving you peace of heart and the joy of being today, priests of my son Jesus. I want to make you into instruments of my motherly tenderness, the apostles of my triumph, the gift which I am making to the church, in these times of her purification and her great tribulation. It is, above all, a gift of love and of mercy. You see, my beloved sons, how great is her abandonment, how deep her desolation. The church is today climbing Calvary, bearing a heavy cross. The spirit of the world has penetrated into her interior and has spread everywhere. How many are the priestly and religious lives dried up by secularism, which has possessed them completely? The faith in many of them has been extinguished because of the errors which are increasingly taught and followed. The life of grace has been buried by sins which are committed, justified, and no longer confessed. Their hearts have become enslaved by many disordered passions and no longer have the capacity to feel joy and peace. You, O priests, consecrated to my Immaculate Heart, be the expression of my motherly love and my great mercy. Love these brothers of yours by good example, by prayer, by advice, and by welcoming with love for them all the sufferings which the Heavenly Father sends you. Then the whole church will feel the comfort which the Heavenly Mother is giving her through you, and in this way she will be helped to carry her great cross towards Calvary. It is also a gift of consolation and of hope. Through you, the church will feel in an increasingly powerful way the presence of the Heavenly Mother. And the presence of the Mother will bring to the church the grace of her total renewal, causing her finally to emerge from the long night in which she finds herself towards the bright day of the new times which are about to come. Thus, the church will be consoled at seeing the faith again flourishing everywhere, hope being renewed, charity expanding, and a great holiness spreading. You, O beloved sons, be the flowers which come to maturity on the tree of your life of consecration to my Immaculate Heart, in order to cause the heavenly dew of hope and of my motherly consolation to come down upon the immense desert of today. It is, above all, a gift of salvation. How many are my children today who run the risk of being lost? How numerous are those far off, the atheists, the sinners, the victims of evil, of egoism, of violence, and of hatred? Look at the millions of innocent babies who are being killed in the wombs of their mothers, at the young people set upon the evil experience of impurity and drugs, at the families which have been destroyed, at the sick, the poor, the abandoned, and those in desperation. Through you, my beloved ones, my tender and anxious motherly help must come to all of them to bring them to salvation. Gather up with your priestly hands these fallen, lost, and scattered children of mine, and bring them all into the motherly sheepfold of my Immaculate Heart. Be light and security for all those who form part of other Christian confessions and point out the harbor into which they must enter in order to fulfill the will of my son Jesus. The holy and Catholic Church, which has the Pope at its foundation and sure guide. I confirm to you that, after the triumph of my Immaculate Heart, there will remain in these countries of yours solely this one and only true Church. Leave this cenacle with joy. I am with you. Bear everywhere the charism of my presence and the light of my glory. With those who are dear to you, with all the souls who are entrusted to you, I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. To the priests, Our Lady's beloved sons, number 460. Cagliari, Sardinia, November 21st, 1991, Feast of the Presentation of Mary in the Temple. In the Temple of My Immaculate Heart. Beloved children, live on this day the joyful mystery of my presentation in the Temple of the Lord. This is a mystery of silence, of offering, of prayer, and of personal immolation. As a sweet and immaculate victim of love, I am offered to the worship of my Lord.
I now belong to him forever, rejoicing to put myself at his service in prayer and in silence for his greatest glory. For all of you also, O children, who have consecrated yourselves to me, the hour has now arrived to enter into the temple of my Immaculate Heart. In the temple of my Immaculate Heart, I am forming you more and more to a deep silence. In these times when my adversary is succeeding in seducing humanity with words, and the din of voices and of images is turning the world into a new Tower of Babel, you are being called to give a witness of deep silence. Silence in order to receive only the Word of God. Silence to meditate on it in the heart and to keep it with love. Silence to live it and give it to all in the light of its integrity. And thus you speak with life. Life becomes your word, and thirsting souls receive it like a heavenly dew, which comes down to give light and life on the immense desert of such a great aridity. In the temple of my Immaculate Heart, I am preparing you for your priestly offering. In these times of the great tribulation, you are being called to carry the burden of a very heavy cross. How many sufferings await you? So then, you must prepare yourselves for your priestly offering. As a token of reparation and expiation for the salvation of many of my poor lost children, offer your whole life to the Lord, your body, your heart, your soul, your mind, your will, your freedom. In this way, you become the chosen victims, precious and pleasing to God, which I can offer to him so that the times of the great trial may be shortened. In the temple of my Immaculate Heart, I am calling you to a continuous prayer. Pray, my beloved children. I want so much prayer of you. Transform your day into an act of unceasing prayer. Be a good example of prayer to all. Pray with the prayer of the heart. Pray with abandonment, with confidence, with perseverance. Such difficult and dangerous moments are drawing close that only those can be saved who accept my invitation to pray always with me. In the temple of my Immaculate Heart, I am preparing you for your priestly immolation. There is a spiritual immolation which I am asking of everyone. It is made up of the acceptance with love of every circumstance of your life as a fulfillment of the will of the Heavenly Father. Do always and at every moment only the divine will. Then the Father will be pleased with you, who are giving to the Son the joy of doing in you only the will of the Father. There is also a physical immolation for which I am preparing you gently as a mother who is making of her Immaculate Heart, in which you are enclosed, the altar upon which you will be immolated for the salvation of the world. Do not be troubled. The powerful times of the purification, of the great tribulation, and of the apostasy have arrived. For this reason, I invite you all today to enter into the temple of my Immaculate Heart, so that I may offer you to the perfect glorification of the Most Holy Trinity. Number 461, Milan, December 8, 1991, Feast of the Immaculate Conception, The Gate Which Opens. Rejoice, beloved children, with all paradise which today contemplates, in the divine light of the Most Holy Trinity, the splendor of your Heavenly Mother. I am the Immaculate Conception. I am the most pure reflection of the light, the love, and the holiness of God. I am all beautiful, tota pulchra. Only thus have I been able to be ready to fulfill my virginal and maternal purpose of being the gate of heaven, Yanua Cheli. I am the gate which opens to hope. At the very moment when all humanity, in the sin committed by the first parents, knows the hour of defeat and of death because of the victory of the serpent, I am prophesied as gate which opens to allow hope to descend upon the world. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. She will crush your head while you strike at her heel. I am the gate which opens to my greatest gift when, with my maternal collaboration, the Redeemer, your Savior, comes to you at the moment of the birth of my Son, Jesus. It is He, my victorious offspring, who will crush forever the head of the serpent and bring about His definitive victory over Satan, over evil, and over death. I am the mother of the first advent, because I am the gate of heaven through which Jesus passes to come to you in the fragility and the humility of human nature. I am the gate which opens upon your salvation, because every one of you must pass through it to arrive at your personal encounter with the Lord. For this, my Son Jesus has constituted me true mother of all humanity. Only if you pass through this, my gate, can you gain entrance into the heavenly garden of mortification and penance, of faith and prayer, of humility and purity, of charity and sanctity. And in this, my maternal estate, Jesus has each day the great joy of meeting you. Jesus communicates himself to you with his grace. He enlightens you with his word. He assimilates you through his real Eucharistic presence. He fills your soul with his divine splendor. He brings your hearts to the fullness of joy and peace. I am the gate which opens upon the new era which awaits you and which is just now coming upon the world. For this reason, in your times, I am called to be the mother of the second advent, just as, by means of me, Jesus has come to you in the fragility and humility of his human nature, so too, again, by means of me, Jesus will return to you in the splendor of his glory to restore his kingdom in the world. My presence in your midst must now become more and more powerful, continuous, and extraordinary. With it, I want to announce to you that you must lift up your heads from the heavy yoke of the great tribulation through which you are living, because your deliverance is at hand. I am the gate which opens on the new times which await you. Enter, all of you, into my immaculate heart with your consecration. In this time of your second advent, keep watch in prayer and with confidence, and await with lighted torches within the gate of heaven of your heavenly mother the approaching return of the Lord Jesus in glory. Number 462, Dongo, Como, December 24th, 1991, the Holy Night. The Bright Cave. Live with me, beloved children, the mystery of love and light of this, your Christmas. I want to take you with me on the long journey which led us to Bethlehem. I was absorbed in a continuous ecstasy of love with the divine child whom I was carrying in my virginal womb, comforted by the precious assistance of my most chaste spouse, Joseph, who devoted himself so completely to making the wearying journey less burdensome. Thus, an interior silence surrounded our presence in the midst of a noisy caravan, and the deep prayer of the heart marked the slow flow of our approach to our goal. And a tranquil peace of soul descended upon the calm unfolding of time in a loving knowledge of the great mystery which was now about to take place. When we arrived in Bethlehem and every door was closed upon our request for hospitality for that night, there was pointed out to us by some shepherds a poor cave which, for all its squalor, was ready to welcome us. This is the holy night. This is the night which brings to an end the expectation of the centuries. This is the night which is opened to the light and brings to an end forever the time of the first advent. This is the night which brings to a beginning the new day which knows no setting. In this night, heaven is espoused to earth. The song of the angels blends with the voices of the little ones, of the poor, of the pure. To the shepherds is given the announcement which gives joy to all. Today is born for you a Savior. Bow down together with me to cover the child with kisses and tears, with warmth and love, with sweet and affectionate tenderness. He is so little. He is just born. He cries because of the sharpness of the cold. He wails because of the great coldness which enfolds the whole world. Like the shepherds, you too bring him simple gifts. Your priestly heart, filled with love, becomes for him his one great comfort. And do you also welcome the great announcement of joy that is given to you today? His second birth in glory is close at hand. You too are traveling along the last stage of a long journey. You too are coming to the end of the time of the second advent. So therefore, live with me and with my spouse, Joseph, the precious hours of this new vigil. Let a deep silence surround the great noise of words and of images which today is filling the whole world. Let the prayer of the heart bring you to a continuous loving dialogue with the Lord Jesus, who has come, who comes, and who will come in glory. And let the tranquil peace of the soul mark the passing of your days, so threatening and thick with sorrows for all. Go forward safely on the tempestuous waves of these last times of the great tribulation, without becoming troubled at seeing that the doors are still closing to Jesus Christ, who is coming. My Immaculate Heart is the bright cave which brings to an end this second advent, because it is with its triumph that Jesus will return to you in glory. Number 463, Rubio Vicenza, December 31, 1991, last night of the year. Prostrate yourselves with me. Beloved children, keep watch with me in prayer and in recollection. Spend thus the last hours of this year, which has been marked by grave and important events for the destiny of all humanity. Prostrate yourselves with me in an act of profound adoration before the Eucharistic Jesus. His real presence among you in the Eucharist, kept with love in all the tabernacles of the earth, is a light upon your path. It is a comfort for all your weariness. It is a balm upon every wound. It is a joy in all your sorrows. It is peace which calms every anxiety. It is the dawn which marks the beginning of each new day of your human life. Prostrate yourselves with me in an act of fervent thanksgiving for all the favors that have been given you by the love and the providence of your Heavenly Father. It is the Father who arranges for you every minute of your life as an expression of His love and of His divine mercy. You are living within time in order to bring to realization a great loving plan of His. Even when you draw away from Him, He never abandons you, but prepares for, awaits, and brings to completion your every return. His divine mercy is a heavenly dew which comes down to make fertile the great dryness of this world and to make the desert in which you live blossom with holiness and with life. You are now entering into the times when the miracle of divine mercy will become manifest to all. See how humanity lies prostrate and wounded, lacerated and defeated, threatened and stricken, diseased and dying. Of itself, it can no longer rise again unless a great mercy lift it up. The moment is at hand when the Heavenly Father will take it up in His arms, will relieve it of evil, will heal it and bring it with Him into His delightful garden. Prostrate yourselves with me in an act of intense reparation for the innumerable offenses committed against the Spirit of the Father and of the Son, who groans within you with unutterable groanings. How much evil is still committed each day in the world. The law of God is openly violated. His name is blasphemed. His day is profaned. The value of life is no longer respected. The number of abortions grows greater and greater. Homicides and crimes, hatred and violence spread. Cruel and bloody wars suddenly break out, threatening the peace of all humanity. How numerous are the sins against the Holy Spirit which are being committed today? Let us pray together with humility and trust to invoke the gift of the Holy Spirit that He come down as a dew to purify the earth and to renew the whole world. Do not spend the last hours of this year in noise and dissipation. Prostrate yourselves with me in a prayer of adoration, of thanksgiving, and of reparation to obtain from the Father, from the Son, and from the Holy Spirit that there may be a shortening of the time of the great tribulation in which you are now living in order to enter into the new era which now awaits you.